forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power, revealing how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. How a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever.
He sought me
and he bought me with his redeeming blood. My love is to him. Plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Amen. Come on up, Sister Sue. Good to see you.
Praise God. You know, I heard the redemption story as a child growing up and all that, and I believed all that, and it's true, and I'm thankful for it, but the best revelation I got was after I found out I came from him and I'm going back to him.
Amen.
And I just praise God for that revelation, you know. We're just so blessed here. We can't thank him enough.
That's right.
Amen. God bless you, Sue. You're right. Can't thank him enough. I was thinking about that message Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah have been preaching about the condescending plan of God, what he was trying to do, his threefold purpose, all that.
Right.
And not to put too many terms on it, try to make it complicated, because I just had a simple revelation that hit me. It's like, you know, when God was making the angels, he made something that he could use.
Yeah.
When God was doing things with even through the ages, he made stuff that he could use.
Right.
That was fine, but he wasn't satisfied with things that he could use.
Come on.
He wanted something he could get into.
Right, right.
He wanted something that he can truly fellowship.
Yeah, fellowship. Right.
So when I talk about what he wanted to do, it was nice to have angels that could worship him, an archangel that could do this, do that. But he was not even satisfied with anything they could do. They could sing day and night. He still wasn't happy. He said, I want something that I can get into, that will fully accept me, all that can hold me.
Amen.
See, the angels can't hold him.
Yeah.
You know, through the ages, they couldn't hold him, but he got a bride now that can hold full the word, but that can hold all of God.
Amen.
So now he can fully worship in spirit and truth in the fullness. And I thought, this is me. That's why he can say he's pleased to dwell here, because he finally has something that he can get into, not something that he can use. It's great to have something that you can use. It's good to have a part, a tool, but I want something I can get into. You know, that even happened with Adam. Adam was telling the angel, the Adam was this, tell him Adam was that. But he said, I need something I can get into.
Yeah.
I need something that I can fellowship like this.
Amen.
And that's this right here. So it's good to be back. I thank God for the revelation. I missed y'all, but you know, I was listening in and I thought, my goodness, we serve a balanced, good God.
Yeah.
You know, I had a lot of time on my hands and I wasted a lot of it listening to dumb stuff. I heard a bunch of these different preachers on YouTubes and different things. Just wasting time, basically just scrolling. And I just thought, well, let me see what's out there. What do they even get to eat? You know? And I was disappointed. I was sad. And you know what? And part of it is the people are willingly ignorant.
Right.
Willingly ignorant.
Yes.
You know, you know, from one side of it, I can look at it and go, man, well, this guy is, you know, you can tell he's just a gimmick. And the people still log in.
Spirit.
People still send him money.
Yeah.
Still people support it.
Yeah.
They're willingly ignorant.
Right.
They would want somebody just to entertain their inchy ears.
Right.
But we come to a place where I don't want to be ignorant. I don't accept ignorance. I don't accept leaven. I don't accept any traditions. I don't accept anything that wasn't in the book. I want the full word of God only. I don't want your ideas on what it could be. I don't want you to presume on what it could be. I don't want you to hope what it could be. I want what God said only. So I thank God for this thing. I'm looking forward to the services. I'm excited to be here. I want to sing page 61. I shall not be moved.
Amen.
If you guys don't mind, I'll sing that. That's in the Only Believe. I've been trying to make a concerted effort to sing out of that Only Believe book more, to learn these songs. Brother Don Destin, you can't be the only one to know them all. Jesus is my Savior.
Yes.
I shall not be moved.
Amen.
Jesus is my Savior.
I shall not be moved.
In his love and favor,
I shall not be moved.
I'm like that tree that's planted by the water. Yes, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be.
I shall not be moved.
I'm like that tree that's planted by the water.
I shall not be moved.
If I trust him ever, I know that he will fail me never.
I shall not be moved.
I'm like that tree that's planted by the water. Oh, yes, I shall not be moved. On his word, I'm feeding. On his word, I'm feeding.
I shall not be moved.
I know that he's the one that's leading. I'm like that tree that's planted by the water. Yes, I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved, just like that tree that's planted by the water. Yes, I shall not be moved. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Anchored in Jehovah,
then I shall not be moved.
Just like that tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. In his love abiding, in his love abiding, and in him I'm confiding.
I shall not be moved.
I'm like that tree that's planted by the water. Hallelujah! Oh, I shall not
be moved.
I like this verse. Though all hell assail me, that Jesus will not fail me. I'm like that tree that's planted by the water. Yes, I shall not be. Though the tempest rages, though the tempest rages,
I shall not be.
On the rock of ages,
I shall not be moved.
I'm like that tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be. Yes, I shall not be.
I shall not be moved.
I'm like that tree that's planted by the water. Yes, I shall not be moved. One more time. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I shall not be moved. Yes, I shall not be.
I shall not be moved.
I'm like that tree that's planted by the water. Yes, I shall not be moved.
Come on up, Brother Mike. God bless you.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on, Brother Mike.
No, go ahead, Mike. Just stand. I don't want a minute. I want to go for a minute. I was sitting on the horn and I was thinking about it. And I said, now, when we sing, I just it got a little epiphany.
Amen.
There. When we sing, that is as much as a testimony.
Amen.
As,
Amen.
As when you testify.
Yeah. Amen.
Because yeah. I was sitting there singing that song. And says, you know what? I am singing a testimony right now.
Amen.
That I shall not be moved.
Amen.
I thought,
Amen.
I thought, if you're sitting out there,
right,
yeah, and you're not singing,
what?
You're not testifying.
Amen. Right. Amen. Yes.
Because that is just as real to me.
Amen. Come on. Yeah.
Amen.
Come on.
Come on. Come on.
Yes, sir. Yes,
that I'm
sir.
Singing from my heart.
Amen. Right. Me too. Me too.
And I'm letting everybody know that I shall not be removed. And I look out there sometime, and people, sometimes they just stand there.
Come on.
Have mercy.
Sometimes they just clap.
Well,
but they're not singing. I'm thinking, you're not testifying.
What are you doing?
And you're missing another chance to identify with the Word of God. And you're only as strong as your testimony.
That's right.
And with that song,
come on.
I shall not be moved.
My goodness.
Uh-uh.
Come on. Can sing it like that.
Watch out.
Amen, Lord.
You should feel better now than you than when you started singing.
Right, 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 right.
So don't just think that we're just singing time.
No.
Your singing is a testimony.
Amen.
You know, he said, praise him with the harp.
What is that?
Praise him with the tambourine.
What is that?
Praise him with the instrument.
That's right, sure.
So when you're singing, you're not just singing to bat the air. You're not singing just to bat the time to pass the time till the preaching comes. You're actually testifying with your very words that you're singing. If I can't get you to get up here to testify, then sing from your seat. If you at least sing. Because you're testifying while you're doing that. Right. I just hit me while I was on the organ. I said, people are missing out on testifying because they think they only do it when you get up here and get in front of the microphone. But every song, every clap, every dance, every step is a testimony to what you stand for and what you believe. So when I sing the song and say, I shall not be moved, I mean it.
I mean it.
I mean it. And I want the devil to hear me say that.
Yeah.
I don't want him just to leave me sitting there.
Forget.
I wanted to know I'm like a real, I'm like a tree.
Come on,
man, by water.
I'm planted, and I shall not be moved.
Amen. God did
this. Amen.
Amen.
You guys can be seated.
That's what I'm talking
about. I was, while they were preaching over the time, I noticed that when he was talking about when if you go to before him to ask about getting married, he said, do you have a place to take her? And I often wonder, then when he said that, it came to me. It's like, even Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you to take you to. So it's the same thing with us. You have to have a place to take your bride for it. And the other thing I was really thinking about was how important it is to eat the whole book.
Yeah.
What is a book? The book is the thoughts of the author, the very mind of the author. When you eat the book, you're actually taking the mind of God
Amen.
Himself.
That's right.
If you leave part of it, it's just tree of knowledge, good and evil.
That's it.
That's all it is. You have your thinking and God's thinking.
Right. Good and evil.
That's why you have to drop everything. You have Amen. To take the whole book. You have to let go of all of your old doctrines
right.
and thoughts and take on God's very yeah. thought. It's mm-hmm. God's very thought that's being yeah. preached here. The very mind of God mm-hmm. is being preached through there. And that's why you have to eat the whole book. You have to let go of all of your old doctrines yeah, and stuff. I was fairly fortunate. I didn't hold on to a whole lot of the stuff of the old, of that old church that I went to. I dropped out of that when I was about 16, but because I knew they had knowledge of true and evil. I didn't see the whole thing. I was nowhere near that. Closest I ever came was I didn't understand the Bible. That was the closest thing to being true that I had, but I ate the whole book. I took the entire mind of God because I've amened every word that came through here. That's what amen. That is. Mm-hmm. You're eating the book every time you listen and say amen, amen. You're eating the book. You're taking on the mind of God and going forth. And that's why you have to die to your own thinking. And it really is very important because, like I said, that's your way back is the very amen. Thought and very mind of God. And you have to take on your husband's mind. That's how you do it. You amen the word.
That's right.
You're not sitting there thinking, you know, just, you know, there's some mechanics to this.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
We know that God is not going to chase you down.
No.
He's not a rapist. He's not going to come after you,
nope.
you know, and hounds you until you praise him or hounds nope. you until you give your testimony. No, you know, right. He'll suggest it. He'll bring it to your remembrance, you know. He'll keep you, you know, focused in his word, you know. He'll keep bringing it up. But if you don't want it, then he's going to look the other way.
That's right.
You know, I mean, the same thing in a natural marriage. You know, if my wife don't want to give me a hug, what am I going to do? I'm not going to force her. I'm not going to run her down. It'd just be a fight. She don't want to hug me right now. Fine, I'll leave her alone, you know. But the thing is, you know, I've said before, and it just feel like you need to remind us again, you know, if you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. If you knock, it'll be opened.
Amen.
If you seek, you'll find.
Yeah.
God is not going to force you. And that's, you know, I'm talking about the wife. That's after you're married.
Yeah.
That's after you got the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You know, I can, you know, the Bible says after you have the Holy Ghost,
yeah, what have you done?
Grieve not the Spirit of God whereby you're sealed.
Amen.
You've already got the Holy Ghost, but you can grieve Him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know, if you... That's why, you know, I was talking to Skyler the other day, you know, and how the body loves when you make an effort.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and of course, he feels like he messed it all up when he led song service, you know. Yeah. And he didn't.
Did not.
Because his desire was right. God judged him by his desire.
That's it, yeah.
You know, and if you don't have a desire, God's got nothing to
work with.
Nothing
to work
at
with.
All. You know, and that's after you've sinned under the word, received it, believed it with all your heart. But you know, if you don't make a concerted effort to press, you know, Paul talked about press. It's a pressing way, you know, and that's after you got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Don't think it's all gonna fall in your lap.
Right. Yeah.
You know, in the natural types of spiritual, if you sit there dream about being a millionaire all day long, it's never gonna happen. You're never gonna get that check in the mail. I'm sorry.
No.
It ain't gonna happen. You gotta push towards it. You gotta set your mind towards holiness. The Bible says, you know, so many scriptures, you know. But he loves us.
Yes, he does.
He loves us. Mm. Now, why in the world wouldn't we draw nigh unto Him? Why in the world wouldn't we make a step, you know?
Right.
I mean, wink at Him. See what happens.
Amen. Yeah.
He might grin back at you.
Right.
You know, maybe that's where it starts.
Yeah.
You know? And but that's the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
You ain't even got to the dynamics yet.
No.
You ain't got to the real love affair.
Right.
The real oneness, you know. You just You're just talking to each other across the room or something, you know. But, Lord, when you get in that seventh room with Him, that oneness, you know.
Yeah.
They were talking about tools and how God uses tools and things like that. This thing about being a builder, you know, I don't know how many hammers I've left on top of cabinets and down in crawl spaces and everything else. Those are just tools.
Yeah.
But this understanding I have about building a house.
Oh, yeah.
It's part of it.
That's part of it.
It'll never go.
Yeah.
I don't care. I can always get more tools.
Yeah.
But this understanding is one with me. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, there's many things that we go through life, many situations, many, you know, things we come up against. All those things are just tools, you know. They lead us along the way. They teach us patience, you know. We fall in diverse temptations, you know. You know, the trying your faith work with patience. All that's really just tools to make you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But that revelation...
Come on.
You know, don't underemphasize that revelation that you have in you. That thing is strong.
Amen.
The devil like to belittle it. The devil like to... But you know, I can get up there and without stuttering, you know, and without feeling bad, I don't care if her hair lifts the devil. You know, I shall not be moved. That's a declared statement.
Declared,
used to be
yeah.
I'd sing that, and I think, well, I got to do better. I got to push more. No, I will not be moved. I cannot be moved. He dwells in me.
Yeah.
I know He dwells in me because He's revealed the Word to me.
Amen.
I know I've got an appointment when that body change comes because He's given me the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I know who I am.
Amen.
You know, Brother Bram says that's the revelation in this day. You wake up and recognize who you are. The difference between now, you know, I was thinking about this too. You know, that the Son of Man was always, the Son of Man's in the midst of golden candlesticks. You know, he's down through the ages. The only difference is they didn't know. They come out, Luther was 99% Catholic. But he had one thing. He stepped out on the Word of God. It was revealed for that day. And God counted it for him for righteousness.
Amen.
You know, and today we just got the whole thing. We got the whole loaf. I know who I am.
Amen.
I know what He's done. I can look all the way back.
Yeah.
I know what's ahead. I know what He's doing right now.
Amen.
I know He's speaking through His body right now.
Amen.
He's not going to do it all through me, but He's going to do it all through the body.
Yeah.
And I'm just watching. I'm looking for your testimony. I'm looking for you to step out. I'm looking for you to say, you know what? I'm tired of this.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a step towards
you. Yeah.
When He looks like He wants a kiss, I'm going to lean into Him.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab Him around the neck. I'm going to hang on.
Yeah.
You know, this is how this works.
Right. Yeah.
You may not like it. You may think, oh, I'm shy.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's shy, but when you get in that seventh room, you know, and you're with your lover,
yeah,
the shyness kind of fades away.
Yeah, it's got to go away.
Nobody looking, nobody impressed. He loves you.
Yeah.
You love him. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, sometimes we need to look at this even more, you know, just in a sense, just the mechanics of it.
That's right.
You know, if you don't have joy, you jump for joy.
Yeah.
If you want to see God move, throw up a rock.
Yeah.
You know, you don't out testify. Testify.
Yeah.
He'll teach you along the way.
Yeah,
you know? You learn this by walking,
yeah.
Day to day, hour to hour, minute by minute.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a future God. Don't wait till Wednesday.
No.
Don't wait till next Wednesday. Don't wait till you get a smart spell. That might never come.
Right.
He's speaking to you. That's when you move.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, that's when God speaks. That's when God expects you to move.
Amen.
You know, I know my children. You know, I raised my children. I was a good father. When I said something, I expected them to move.
Yeah.
You know, and there's different ways to deal with that. But, you know, I expected to move.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, not next week.
Yeah,
you know,
no, right now.
If I tell you clean your room, you clean your room.
Right.
Or you go up there and you don't come down until you do clean it.
Amen.
And if you're not down in 5 minutes, I go up there and make sure that you're cleaning your room because it shouldn't take more than 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, so he's a good God if you give him a chance.
Yeah.
He's one to express his love to you so much if you give him a chance. You know, don't put him to the test.
Come on.
Don't say something that, you know, according to his word, he'll ride right in on that.
Yeah, he will.
You know, don't believe him. Oh, he'll anoint that faith.
He will.
And you'll see him move like you've never seen him move before. Now, this is just the facts of it.
Yeah.
This is how, is what my years of experience have shown.
Amen.
Don't ask me how I know, but I know this is how he works.
Yeah.
Because I know how it didn't work for years and years and years. But, you know, you step out by faith.
Right.
You know, when you step out, you know, faith is something you don't see yet.
Right.
Faith is something you got to, you know, you just believe.
Right.
You know, you believe it till you see it.
Amen.
You know, that's the way it works. And you confess it. You know, you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth.
Yep.
Yes. You don't confess with your mouth, at least singing.
Come on.
That's just a start, you know.
Yeah.
At least don't be ashamed to sing.
Right.
Sing loud.
Amen.
Don't just sit there and mumble. Sing louder, somebody can hear you.
Yeah.
You know, find a mic if it, you know.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, if you have trouble giving, you know, stingy, start giving all your money away.
That's right.
Yeah.
You have trouble testimony, testify every service.
Yeah.
Till it's not so much trouble anymore. If you have trouble getting up in front of people, get up in front of people, just stand.
Right.
There was a time when I worked third shift and you know, I wasn't moving enough. So I'd get up and I'd stand right there the whole service. And a lot of people probably wondered, what's he doing? What's he trying to prove? And say, I'm overcoming myself.
Yeah.
I'm getting right on the devil's mustache and saying, I'm a believer.
Yeah.
I believe this.
Amen.
I will not be moved.
Amen.
And I'm not ashamed of him. You know, you'd be ashamed of him.
Amen.
He'd be ashamed of you.
Right.
Too many scriptures, brother.
Amen. Too many scriptures.
Too many scriptures. Amen.
Amen. Sister Christy and Sister Clarice, y'all got a song?
I'm actually by myself.
Oh, you're by yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on up. I'm on now. There we go.
Amen.
There we go.
I literally had to be moved to get out here.
What do you want me to do? You want me to move that?
Yeah. I'm going to put this up here once I get connected.
Yeah,
there we go.
Amen. While she's getting ready, I can't wait. It takes a minute.
And that's, I want to give God praise for what he's done in my life. You all, God has been good to me.
Yes.
He has given me things that I thought I'd never have.
Yes.
He's moving in my life like I never thought he'd move. But you know, I'm open for it.
Yeah.
I want to give honor to God, and I want to bless their sister Judy sitting back there, Sister Renee. Belinda, I don't think is here, but that body help me do what I couldn't do by myself. Yeah. Yeah, y'all stand up. Stand up. Renee got up. You know, I ain't much of a driver. And you know, I was all hemmed up in my flesh. I said, I'm going to drive to Chicago. I'm going to give it an hour at least.
Whoa.
The Lord said, you ain't, that's all right. You know, God knows us.
Yeah,
he knows what you can do. You know, the spirit is willing. But the flesh, you know, sometimes it's a little weak. But you know what? I am exactly what I'm supposed to be. Maybe some people have trouble getting up. I ain't gonna mention no name. Maybe some people have trouble doing this and that. But you know what, Brother Jay, it's all right. It sure is good to see you.
Amen.
I pray for you, brother. Amen. That brother is always on the thing. No matter who needs help, no matter what time. And there's another one that's hands up in there. This is an amazing group
Amen.
Of people.
Amen.
I love you, Renee. I love you, Judy. I love you, Mel. I couldn't have done it without you. And I give God all the praise. Oh, how about that? On the TV. He wanted to show me off. And you know what? I'm going to show him off. I can never thank. I was laying in bed this morning. I said, Lord, it's quiet now. And there's no distractions now. Can we talk? Do I ever tell you how much I appreciate what you've done to me? Do I ever take time to just thank you? I'm not going to ask for anything. What else do I need? He's given me everything. I have an understanding. I have a revelation. I have a place to go. I'm not worried about going to hell. He told me I didn't have to get there. And you know what? He loved me. He lived for me. He put up with knuckleheaded Pharisees for me. He slept out in the open. He was beat for me. He was stripped naked for me. He died for me. He even went to hell for me. That is somebody that loves you. I will never,
Amen.
God help me to never sit back and not lift my hands.
Amen.
I don't care what I sound like. I'm going to sing for him. I'm going to praise him. There's no words. Okay, I'm shutting up.
That's right. Amen.
This song's been on my heart for a little bit. I sat there on it for a while, and I thought, let me move this morning and get up and play it.
So, Amen.
It's Pass Me Not, and it's special to me because, you know, so many times I would ask, Lord, please don't pass me by. Hear my cry.
Right.
Because, you know, but I look back, you know, and I think,
beautiful song.
I am so grateful of the journey I went on.
Yeah.
Where I've been, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Mm-mm.
And I'm just blessed. I'm blessed to be here. I'm blessed that God brought me. I was born and raised here, born at Miami Valley Hospital. So it's like God brought me back home. This is my home.
Okay.
And
Amen.
So I hope this song will bless you. And I'm praying next week as we travel to London, the church that I had gone to. I want to play. They never knew I played. They never heard me. So I'd like to play for them when we go.
Amen.
So I'm trying to step out the box for here. So
Amen.
I hope, let's see. And please pray for Alex, my husband. He's been wonderful. And Alex, you need to be here. But but he, I had so many music pieces and papers, and they fall off and everything because I'm a music reader, and coming here, everything was like, everybody played by ear, so I was lost. So I have all these papers of me trying to figure out the music. So my music instructor gave me a great app, and she told me to use it, but I didn't know how to do anything because I don't know how to put stuff on things. But Alex, they helped me put all the songs on my iPad with the back track, and he also, because I, the voice book, I put that on, and he was able to put that all on.
Nice.
So I don't have all these papers, so everything is on my iPad. So it makes it wonderful. So God bless him.
God bless Brother Alex.
Trying to get this going.
Play like you mean.
Amen. That's beautiful.
Beautiful.
If you guys don't mind, can we sing that?
Yes, let's go ahead and sing that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm here.
Go, Sister Renee. You could.
Well, I just wanted to give Sister Clarice some flowers. You know, she is talented. But there's been so many times that she's seen me doing something, and she just jumped in and helped me clean the church. You know, I was just thinking about her. I know she's helping someone else clean the church this month. How many times has that sister cleaned the church? Right. You know, and just noticed people and noticed what they needed. And she's a dear, dear sister, and I was honored to drive her there. But, amen. You know, I was just thinking of our trip there, and anywhere I go, I know who I am, and I.
Right.
But it was, and you guys all won't think it's weird, but we had people just come up to us. We didn't even have our phones out or anything, and they would say, "Can I take a picture of you guys?" And I mean, that happened more than once, and just so many people were blessed, and because they got to meet us, right. There wasn't one bad thing that happened, you know. And we're in Chicago, and there was some a couple of shady things, but we knew who we. Work, you know. I even had some family members that wanted me to pack my gun, but I'm like, I think I'm going to trust God to take care of me on
right,
this. You
yeah.
know, I know that I'll be fine.
Right.
But there was even we had a little fussy driver, and the way Sister Belinda handled that, I mean, I just love being around the body,
right.
And just. It was a blessing. I was so blessed to be able to go, and I could not give Clarice enough praise for her artwork and just the way she handled herself and just how talented she is. I love
Amen.
Her very much.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
I don't have a long testimony. I just want to say how grateful I am.
Amen.
It's just in gratitude.
Amen. Amen.
That's all I can say. I just coming up here and I'm just saying, God, I'm so grateful for your long suffering.
Right.
For your mercies.
Right.
And all that you have done for me.
Amen. Amen. God bless
Amen.
My
Amen. Yes.
Brother John.
Praise God.
Yes.
He is real.
Amen.
Brother Don, what you said is so true.
Yeah.
You draw close to God and he'll draw close to you.
Amen.
You know, I can't sing right now, but at least I can move my lips.
Yeah.
And I can say the words, maybe not out loud, but I can say in my head.
Amen.
And I cannot wait till I can sing again. Because when I sing with everything that's in me.
Amen.
And you know, we found this silly little station on the TV, and it's a faith station. And I was watching, and these learned men, they can take the Hebrew, and they can break it down into what that word means and what the picture means. And
mm-hmm.
I look at that and I say, even though they can do all that,
yeah,
they don't know what the Word of God says.
Right.
It's a revelation.
Amen.
And if you, and then also we were listening to the story of Daniel, mm-hmm. the prophet. And you know, when that prophet walked into someone's house, they respected him.
Amen.
They feared him.
Yeah.
Because that was the word of God.
Right.
That's how God talked
right.
to
yeah.
the Jews in that time.
Amen.
And you know, right. then they would slip away from God. Then another prophet would come and
right.
just put the hammer on them.
Right.
Right.
And then I look in this day and God put love on us.
Yeah. Love. Yeah.
He put love on us.
Amen.
Not the hammer. We serve him out of love.
Amen.
Right, right.
But if you don't have a revelation, if you don't see this truth,
come on.
You ain't going to get it any other way.
No.
And I just praise God. I look to get my voice back.
Amen.
You know, Satan is not defeated.
Amen.
Satan is conquered.
Amen.
And I will praise God with all that's in me.
Amen. God bless you, Brother John.
Sister Judy.
Bless you, Judy.
Amen.
I'm so blessed.
Amen.
Yeah.
Sis.
You
know, I really miss my husband. Well, he was gone. But I'm
Welcome
so glad
back.
I got to go. He got to have a good time. That meant so much to me.
And you know, that's part of my heart, and that's why I'm so full this morning, you know? Because God has been so wonderful to me to give me this body.
Yeah.
To give me a wonderful husband.
Amen.
To watch over me and take care of me. He had all kinds of duties to take care of when he got home. It was like, it seemed like just everything was kind of falling apart, you know? It was kind of like, okay, there's a dead mouse, needs to be gotten rid of. You know, it's like, hey, I don't mind moving it from point A to point B, but I'm not taking it out of the trap. Not doing it. So there was that. There was the car. I left the lights on, so it needed charge. So he had to walk me through that. Well, I stopped up the drain. The drain needed well, I built a fire. Something happened there, too.
Yeah.
I'm like, but I did not want to bother him, you know? I wanted him to have a good time. Amen. I didn't want to lay all of this on him while he was gone. I wanted him to enjoy himself because all of that's temporal stuff. Sure. That can be handled when he gets right. home. Right. And I don't have to bother him with all of these things that's trying to fall apart at home because I can handle that.
Amen.
You
right.
know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was single for a long time and I had to handle things.
Sure.
So you learn to handle things.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And if it was really serious, I could have called one of the brothers.
Right.
One of you guys would have come over to help.
Gladly.
Me. It wasn't that big a deal.
Right.
I had a sister I could spend the night with, Sister Moore.
Right.
I just went over there and stayed. You know, and had a wonderful time. That was my intention anyway, was to just go
Amen.
Hang out with Sister Moore and have a great time. And I was so glad that I was able to. I love art. All of you know I love art. I love to paint. And I enjoy all aspects of it. Not just painting, but quilting. Renee's talent that she's got, I can't do it, but I enjoy it.
Amen.
I enjoy all aspects of it. So it was an honor, Sister Moore, to be able to go with you and to be able to, you know, be a witness. Because anywhere we go, we're a witness
Amen.
To this body. And it was just amazing. It was just beautiful. I mean, they really had a spread. Food.
Oh, yeah.
It was just amazing. They had wine, you know. They had, you know, just about anything. Donuts. It was like, oh my goodness, the donuts. Oh, Renee laughed at me. She thought that was the funniest thing because I looked at her and I said, these are the best donuts that I have ever had. They were just little bitty donuts. But oh man, they were tasty. So, but anyway, God blessed in all aspects. And I'm so glad you all had a good fishing trip. And I'm Amen. So glad that God watched over all of us while we were yeah. traveling. And sorry that sometimes it takes me a minute to get things out. But, you know, I'm excited, and this is real.
Yeah.
And when right. I come up yeah. here, I'm not coming up here to play.
No.
I'm
That's
coming
right.
up here
Amen.
Because, you know, things that I say I hope inspires someone else.
Sure.
And, you know, I want to come up here, and I want, you know, I'm just full.
Right, amen.
I just sometimes I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what to say, and I don't even know how to get up here.
Amen.
You know? But I just praise God for everything.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. 206.
We're cutting it off. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, bud. 206. 206. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Amen.
Sing it, hallelujah. I'm singing, Savior, oh my Savior, I know you only.
Father, what a privilege, what an honor it is to be able to come into your presence. What a privilege it is to be able to come to where we can hear from you one more time. And Lord, we're gathered here this morning to move everything else out of the way that we can clearly listen for you hear you. When we hear your word, we're hearing you. And Lord, we ask you to move everything aside, all the hindrances. And let your word be real today. Speak to our hearts and help us to press over top of everything else. Help us to push through this life. All the problems, all the disappointments, all the things that causes us to have problems on this side. Help us to push over all of that so that we can get to your word. Lord, this waiting congregation here, I ask you to bless them. Send your anointing not only to the speaker, but to the hearers of this word this morning. All that's under the sound of my voice, both here and those that may be tuned in, ask you to let your word, Lord, move in their hearts and their lives. Where there's room to be moved up, Lord, help us to move there. Because that's not moving room for you, Lord. That's moving room for us. And help us to stand a little bit stronger, a little bit taller. Help us to let everything else go and pick up your word, pick up our cross, and follow you. There's no excuse in this hour for ignorance. That's been done away with the opening of the seals. And now, Lord, if we're ignorant now, we're ignorant willingly. We choose to not follow you. We choose not to take your word. We choose to go the routes that we're going, Lord. And Father, that's on us. That's not on you. And I ask you to shake us this morning. That, Lord, we can choose the right path. That we'll walk with you. That we'll stand with you. Do not pass us by, Lord. There is a possibility that you can pass people by, and you do. Out of all the people that were at the Pool of Siloam who all believed that you were going to trouble the waters, Lord, there was only one that you were there for. And Lord, Brother Branham said, we're one in a million in this hour. And Lord, as I want to be that one in a million, I want to represent you with all that lies within me. Move everything out of my life that's not like you. And move your life in there in such a way that the world will have to take note that we've been with you. Thank you for this word that we've opened up before the people. Ask you to touch, Lord, those that are sick. Sister Donna, who's going in for surgery, ask you to touch her, Lord. And Dawn and John, touch John's voice. And just, Lord, you know he wants to use it for you. He's doing it for you. And touch those that have need. Trevor, who's needing a touch from you. And Lord, the doctors can do what they can, but it's still up to you. So we're going straight to the source and ask you to move on his behalf. Touch those that are dealing with that COVID and spirits that are let loose in this generation, Lord, we ask you to just move so that we can freely do your will. Lord, speak to us through this word this morning. Have your way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm proud of my wife. She's getting to be more and more known than I am. I got some text, and Sister Donna said she wanted to congratulate Clarice, and you know, it's just God on display.
That's right.
You know, and that's what it's all about. And to God be the glory for all the things He's done. There's a lot of moving parts and things going on right now. Now, I at the beginning of the year, Brother Doug had texted me and he said, when are we going fishing? And I told him, I said, oh, Brother Doug, not now. Maybe later on we'll get to it. I don't do that. I don't take vacations or breaks and things. And after I texted that, a little voice said to me right after I did that, it said, text Doug back and tell him to plan it. Yes. I text him right back. I said, you plan it. Whenever you plan it, I'll go. I'm not even going to fight it. I'm just going to do it. And at the time, my year was pretty clear.
Yeah.
But he went ahead and planned it. And I don't tell. A lot of times when I go away, I don't tell people I'm going away. And the reason I don't is because that's a time for me to go away. And if you tell everybody you're going, they want to go with you. And then it's a church trip. And it's like, this is not what this is meant to be. It's time for me. You know, I think about it. Sometimes I think preachers, there's times they need to just get away. You know, the pressures of the job and the congregation and the needs of the people and the things that you're thinking about and the plans and all this stuff is going on in your mind constantly. And then sometimes you just have to go away. I understand why Brother Brennan went hunting. It wasn't to have some stories to tell. It was just to get away. And so you think, I didn't tell you I was going or where I was going. And everybody's wondering, well, where's he going? I didn't say because I didn't want to tell you. But I wanted to just take a week. And after we had planned it, everything started happening a year. And now we've got things going on that I'm trying to stay ahead of now. And so it was good to get away. I appreciate Doug and Steve for going. And I just sometimes just sneak away just to stop everything. Where I don't want to be husband, pastor, preacher, question answerer. You know, I don't do any of those things. I just sit out there with a fishing pole and look at the water. And I may even bait the hook. But it was good to be away. But I missed you all. I saw Wednesday night service, and it was an excellent service. And I appreciate it. Skyler stepping out, that's the way it's done. If you don't ever take that first step, God can never use you. So if you're going to do anything for God, you say, "Well, I may not have done it right the first time." None of us did it right the first time. And that's why we have practices. That's why we do what we do, so that we can do these things. But the biggest thing that he didn't need help with was a desire. And that's the biggest of everything. And I don't care what you do with your talent. If it's the desires for God, then the talent will come or go. You know, you may get better and you may not. I've seen people who do things and their talent isn't the talent, but they do it for God and God blesses it. So, you know, I include myself in that, because I didn't start playing the piano because I was talented. I didn't start helping Brother Chillers because I knew how to answer foreign letters. I didn't start preaching because I knew how to preach, and I didn't start pastoring because I knew how to pastor. You just get a desire in there, and God will take care of everything else. And you turn around, it's 27 years, and it's like, where did all that time go? But it's good. And now I'm also, see, I got all these things in my mind. I'm trying to get everything out before I start here. And this is all God has. He knows what he's doing. And I went on this fishing trip, and I was in my mind, I'm trying to get ready, get plans made. I have to get, there's a lot to it. You got to get airline tickets. You got to get the churches coordinated, preachers, and you got to get everybody to communicate. I'm doing all this while I'm on vacation. And while I'm down there, I'm doing these things, and all this is on my mind. And Brother Doug asked me, said, "Well, when are you going?" And I told him, I was like, Monday. He didn't say nothing. About Tuesday or Wednesday, I don't know what day it was. I think it might have been Tuesday or so. He said, "Well, I'll go with you." And I thought, well, okay. I'll take a deacon with me. And so Doug's going to go with me. Now, don't get jealous. You know, sometimes people would get jealous. And then it's not about jealousy. It's about efficiency. You know, I got to do the best I can with what I have. We don't have a lot of money. We're a small church, but we're going to make it happen. And if I take the whole group, you don't even know how much it costs to go to Carolina, let alone Philippines. So Doug's going to go with me. God doesn't want me to go by myself, apparently. Amen. I was willing. I was like, you know, I know June and I know Victor. I'll just go. They'll take care of me. And God's got Doug going to keep his eye on me, I guess. Now he might be packing. I don't know what he's got in plans. I don't know. But I just appreciate the fact that he'll be going. There's a reason. And then another thing, I got a text from Brother June. He said June's going to Hong Kong over Easter. That's what he wants me to take care of his Easter service at his church that morning. So that's why I'll be there at Easter. And he told me the other day, he said, there is a brother from Spain that's coming to the meetings over there. And he said, this brother, he told him about us, and he met June somewhere else, and he said, this brother is wanting to meet us, and maybe even follows back to the United States. So I don't know what that all means. I never know what I'm getting into. I just let God do what he wants. I said, Skylar will be happy. There's somebody from Spain coming. So I don't know what that all means. I really don't at this point. I'm just letting you know that there's things on top of things happening. And that's why getting away was a good thing, because it gives me a little downtime to get mentally ready for the challenges that are ahead. I got shots lined up. I've got things that are happening. So next thing is to get the tickets. And I've got June and Victor communicating together in the same app. I had both of them, and I thought, oh, I'll just put them together so we're all on the same page. So we're doing that, making the plans, and they're going to be bringing some brothers in off of the islands for the meetings, and so from Mindanao and different places. So they'll be bringing brothers in, and we'll pay to get them back home. So that's part of our expenses, that we'll the 10 or 15 ministers that they bring in, and we'll take care of them and give them money to get back home, get there and get it back home to pay their tickets if they can get there. And then there's just a lot of things going on, that a lot of coordinating that has to happen that used to happen, that Victor did all of it. Most of it on the Philippine side he would do, but now that things are changed, and on this side, we used to have travel agencies that would plan all this stuff for you. And I would just tell them where we're going. They would take care of everything. But now with the phones and the apps, the travel agencies are closing down, and people are doing their own thing. So we're booking our own flights these days. So things have changed. Victor said it's been 15 years. I don't know. He told me it's been 15 years since we've been there. And so it's been a long time. Long time coming, and I had to back them off because they wanted me to go here, they wanted me to go there. They were trying to get a lot of things. There was brothers that are having a youth meeting. I think they said they might be 3 hours away, and they wanted me to actually come over because we're going to hold a meeting on Thursday and Friday the 6th and 7th of April, and the 8th I'm off. And then the 9th, I'm doing Easter service for Brother June. And on the 10th, we're flying to Legazpi to Brother Victor's and have a meeting the 10th and 11th. And then on the 12th, we'll fly back to Manila and home. So they were wanting me to come on Saturday to their youth meeting. And I said, I'm not this trip. So I'm starting to narrow things down because I don't have a backup preacher. So I'm going to have to do it all myself. And We'll Lord will take care of that, but I'll just be careful. Just be in prayer about this services, because there's a lot of moving parts in that, and a lot of times you don't understand or know all that goes in behind even having a meeting or going. And if you don't get to go, don't just pray for us, because you know we got prayer, we got things we got to do. So that's what's happening up there, and Brother Tony, didn't announce the Easter meeting. Our Easter meeting is going to be Palm Sunday this year, which is the 1st and the 2nd of April. That's a week before Easter. So Brother Tony Ojiabisa will be with us on Saturday night service. We'll have a service Saturday evening at 7 and a service on Sunday morning at 10, and then dinner afterwards. So we won't have Sunday night service, but we'll have dinner that afternoon where we can sit in fellowship. You can spend some time with Tony and talk to him and all that before he heads out. Now, he leaves on Tuesday going back to Florida, but I leave on Monday going to the Philippines. So that's a lot going on there. So keep those things in mind. And don't forget, we were invited, Brother Eric had invited us to a meeting they're having on the 18th and 19th, but I told him we're busy that weekend because that's Sunday that we're going to Brother Peterson's. That's next weekend. So a week from today, we'll be going to Brother Peterson's, and we'll have service here Sunday night. So if you think we're not busy, that's why I told Brother Doug to go ahead and schedule. I said, if you don't get that scheduled, and all of this came about after I told him to go with that. So keep all these things in your mind and the announcements that they put up there. Jot them down. Put them on your phone. Keep up with them because there's that and other things coming up to keep these things in your mind. So it's good to be back. I enjoyed the service on Wednesday night, and God bless you, sis. You got baptized. Sister Beth got baptized, and you know, that's important because the same thing you do when you get baptized is the same thing you do all the way home. When you hear the word, you repent, you receive the word, and you act upon it. See, a lot of people miss that last part on acting upon it. A lot of people hear the word and they don't receive it. A lot of people hear the word and receive it, but they never act upon it. So if you don't act upon it, you never really received it. So our sister said she got baptized and she heard the word. The word preached last Sunday, we talked about one God. And somewhere along the line, I don't know if it's that message or she's been thinking about it, but she said, I want to be baptized. And so what you've done was the right step. And as the word comes forth, keep taking those steps. You know, a lot of times people think you get changed like that. You're going to come and God's going to drop everything and you're going to... No, it's a walk. It's not a transfer. It's a walk. And as you hear the word, you keep applying the word to your life and everybody around you will know it because you'll be changing and it won't be because somebody's dictating you to change. And it'll be changed because your very desires change. See, the thing about receiving the Holy Ghost is God changes your desire. And it's not even anything that's in your hands. You've done everything you can do when you repent and was baptized. And after that, as you hear the word and receive the word, that starts changing your taste. That starts changing your desires. That starts changing your wants. And as the song says, the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. As the word does it, a lot of people would now, at this point, they would jump on Sister Beth and say, do this, do that, drop this, drop that, change this, change that, get stuff, start this, stop that, and do. No. You know, like with a little chicklet in that egg, when it's hatching, just leave it alone. The best thing you can do is leave it alone. And watch it peck its way out, because as he pecks his way out of the egg, it gets stronger. That's how they get the strength to start doing their walking. And as Sister Beth starts listening to the word and hearing it, and as she stepped out on that word, as she hears more word, step out on that. And as she hears more word, step out on that. And you'll be pecking yourself out of that old nature, and you won't even realize what happened to you. And next thing you know, Isaiah will be in trouble. Because he might be trying to act like he's got it all, and she's like, wait a minute. Yeah. The pastor said, the word says, the revelation says, I was there, and I heard it myself, so I know you're trying to pull one over on me, brother. And that's the thing that happens, but see, that's a good thing, because it puts everybody in check. Amen. And it'll help Isaiah. That's like with Micah. Micah's stepping out. And Isaiah can't get away with what he got away with before because Micah's sitting there looking at him like, hey, Dad. Hey, you know what the church says. You know what the word says. You're supposed to be my example. And so that puts a load on you when you're out there trying to sneak through the grassy knoll. It gets cut down with a lawnmower, and you're just laying there. Everybody can see you. So, you know, God puts us all on notice. You know, and I ain't saying nothing that we all ain't been through. You ain't going to get away with what you used to get away with now, because the Word is going to, because, you know, as long as Clarice ain't eating the Word of God, I can get away with anything. But when she's eating at the same table as I'm eating, she knows what I'm eating, and I know what she's eating. This ain't so quick, I can't go and just say, hey. No, you, well, back it up, bub. I'm your sister, and I was at church too. But that's where we do. We grow in grace. And you want somebody by your side that loves the Word of God. You don't want just any old Joe. You want somebody around you that love. I want people around me that love the truth. I don't just do this for the fun of it. I do it because I love it. And if you love something, you want to share it. And so I want to share this. I enjoyed Brother Jeremiah's message on Wednesday night, Christ the Mystery, and bringing in that oneness. And it's really good to see that God is one, and that He is really one. And that when His Word is going forth, you are actually partaking of God Himself. And you say, well, how can that be? He's John 1 and 1. He's the Word, and He is God. So I appreciate that. Now, I want to get started here for a little bit this morning. And I have a scripture that I was thinking about while I was away. And I didn't know how. It just come to me while I was there. And I thought, well, Lord, okay. And so I went and I was putting some thoughts with it. And then last night, I got things together. And I said, well, oh, amen, Lord. It's what you want, however you want it. And so if you turn with me over to Galatians chapter 5. I want to read a few verses there. Galatians chapter 5. And don't forget, we'll be at Jeremiah's this evening. Not here. So if you come here, you'll be the only one here. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, said unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Amen. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of the Word. I like the title, the message this morning, Standing in the Liberty. And I was thinking about this because people don't understand that you got to stand for something. You know that old saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You're going to have to stand. You're going to have to. Being a Christian is not just a pushover and you just let the world just take you for a ride and you go along with the world and you be a part of the world. But Christianity sets you aside from the rest of the world and sets you apart for the work of the ministry. For God. You say, well, I'm not a minister. Every one of us are ministers. We all have a ministry. And you think that you're out there by yourself in your own little island, but you're not. You're connected to a body. You know, what you do affects the body. What you do represents the body. And that's why we have to correct here in the house of God, because if we just don't correct at all and everybody just goes and does their own thing, then what you'll find, you'll have a mess on your hand and nobody's controlled by nothing. And it's not controlling in the sense that you got yourself bound up. I said it's a liberty. I actually had to look that word up because I like looking up words. And liberty, it's a state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. To be liberated. I was thinking about that this morning. I said, you know, in order for us to have a nation, we had to fight for liberty.
Right.
It wasn't given for slavery to be done away with. We had to fight for liberty. Every group you talk to and every group you look at, there was nobody ever just given liberty. So liberty has a price associated with it, and it's got to be paid. If you're going to be free in Christ, there is a payment and a liberty. There's a payment for that liberty.
That's right.
There was a payment that he paid, and there's a payment that you pay.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you have to turn around and fight for what you have. You're just not going to get this because God's going to just hand it to you. You're going to fight to be a Christian.
Amen.
You are. And I'm not trying to say fight to live good. I'm saying if you're going to have the liberty in Christ, it's going to cost you something. You're not going to just get it handed to you. This doesn't come without a price. If you're going to be a real believer, it's going to cost you. If you're going to serve God, it's going to cost you. If you're going to actually be really free, it's going to cost you.
Amen.
It'll cost you sometime your family. Sometime it costs you your friends. And sometime it costs you your own self. Some things I want to do, I can't do because I've got the liberty of Christ in me. You know Romans 7, that I would do. I don't do, and that I don't do, I find myself doing, and you know, who's going to deliver me? Somebody's got to set me free. Somebody's got to deliver me. Now, Brother Branham said here, Satan has no more power, only as he can bluff with it. See, when you are set free, Satan has no power over you. Sometimes we don't even think we're really free. And we're really free to do whatever we want.
Amen.
We really are. You said, what? You're free to do whatever you want.
Yes.
It's just, I don't want to do it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not bound by any law that says I must do anything. True freedom is when you don't have anybody putting any restraints on you, right, and you still do it. You know what they say? Serving God is what you do when nobody's looking. Now, when you don't have any restraints on you, when you don't have anybody putting laws on you, when you don't have anybody telling you what you got to do, but you do it anyhow, you know, you don't have any restraints in cleaning your house at home. You don't have anybody holding a gun at you saying, now clean this place up. You just do it because you feel like it needs to be done. And when you're serving God, it isn't because I'm not going to dictate to Beth what her Christian life's going to be. I'm setting her free. I'm saying as you and God have a relationship, do what God puts in your heart. Because it's the desire that God is looking at. People get confused. They come out of the world and they come into the church and they take the world's law off on them and they put the church law on them. That's not liberty. That's not freedom. You come out, you go from 35 miles an hour to 25. And then you get out of the school zone, you say, oh, good, I can go 35 again. It's still the law. Get out there on the Autobahn. The Audubon is really liberty.
Amen.
The Audubon is over there in Germany, I think it is.
Yeah.
And on the Audubon, you get to drive as fast as you want. There is no speed limit at all.
Right.
You know, I went out west one time, and me and Clarice got this car, and we started driving. And, you know, I might have a tendency, if I were to be honest, to go a little bit faster than the speed limit, because if you don't, they run you over. So I would go a little bit faster than the speed limit. Well, I got out to Arizona and got my rental car, and the speed limit was 90. And I got in that car, and I started going 90. I did not want to go 95. I was doing good to do the 90. First time I realized how fast I was going, I was driving 90 miles an hour, and we come across the first cactus coming out of the airport. And I said, look, Clarice, there's a cactus. And right in front of me was this truck, and it came up on me so fast, I thought, oh, Lord, you know. I did not want to go any faster than the speed limit. I was at liberty to go 80.
Come on.
or 70. I felt comfortable going 70, 80, 85. When I got up to 90, I was like both hands on wheels, eyes ahead, and don't even need to go any faster than that. But that's not even freedom. The Autobahn's freedom. The Autobahn is you get out there and you go as fast as you want to go. Now, if you get out there and you're going 120 miles an hour, if you can handle 120 miles an hour, have at it. Have fun. Enjoy. Enjoy, as us would say, or Sister Spirits would say, enjoy, enjoy. Get out there and go as fast. But if you go 120 miles an hour and you flip that car, they're not going to come and give you a ticket. Matter of fact, they're just going to come and give, the hearse is going to come and scrape you off the road. But whose fault was it? It's your own fault. Because you can go as fast or slow. It's the same with serving God. When we come into this place, we give you liberty. And people don't like that. They want me to put law on y'all. They want me to tell you how to dress, how to live, how to act, how to move. So they want me to put you back under law. But I'm saying this is the Autobahn. Right. Yeah. You walk this Christian walk as fast as you want. Amen. You can get as much God of this as you want, or as little God as you want. You can serve God with your whole heart, or you can slow yourself around and act like you don't even love God. You can dress like he wants you to, or you can act like you don't know nothing about dressing and dress like you want. You can go where you want. You can be like you want. You can do like you want. You can do whatever you want. It's the Autobahn.
Right.
But you know what I find now? It's not a lot of people who can drive 120. They get in here and they thought, what? Predestination?
Yeah.
What? I don't have to do that. What? I can do whatever I want. And next thing you know, by and by, we see them rolling down the aisle, toppling head over heels out the door. Whose fault was it? Not mine. Not yours. But you know what? They blame you. They blame me. Because they want somebody to take the blame for them wrecking their car. Right. But you know what? You shouldn't have drove so fast.
Amen.
If some people can only handle 20.
Right.
When I pass Clarice on the road, she's like this. I drive by her sometime, I wave. She's like, she ain't going 120. But see, the thing is, in serving God, there is liberty.
Amen.
And you have the freedom to serve God how you want to serve God. The thing is, if you can't handle it, Brother Childers always says, don't testify, don't jump any higher than you can live. If you don't have a big testimony, just hop a little bit. Don't worry about it. Ain't nobody going to say nothing. They'll pass you. That's all right. But that's all you can handle. And see, that's why we don't even criticize each other. Because you may not handle 120. You may not be 100 watt. You may be a 50 watt, a 40 watt, a 30 watt. But whatever you are, be 100% of what it is. That's liberty. But the thing about it is when I see you and I see you falling apart, I realize you're driving open. You know what? You can overdrive your headlights. You know how that's when you're going faster than the light is on your path. And people try to do that in Christianity. They try to drive faster than they can see. They get critical. They start seeing things that they don't supposed to see. They know too much. They hear too much. And all of a sudden, they are driving really fast, and they're imagining what they see. Brother Don's this. Brother Jeremiah's that. Brother Jay's that. And they can't see. They can't even see what's going on in their headlights, let alone me trying to drive fast. And they think they're going somewhere. And all that they do is crash. I've seen people crash for 40 plus years. If you can't live this thing, slow down. Learn. Look at your examples. Make it sure. You're calling an election. Don't take chances. I think I can go 120. You think. If you get up to 120, when I knew I was in trouble when I was at 90 and my whole body was tensed and I'm looking out there like this and I couldn't take my eyes off the road and I was scared. Though the law said I could go 90, I was not comfortable going 90. So I slowed down to about 80 because I wasn't in a hurry. I was on vacation. Why am I in a hurry to go somewhere and die? So I slowed down to where you're comfortable. When you're doing this Christian walk, you need to drive. Slow down to where you can live it.
That's right.
If you can't preach, don't.
That's
right. Sing.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Learn to handle the God that you have. Yeah. Don't look at how somebody, I don't care how fast, cars pass me, I'm going 80. They're going, vroom. I'm like, God bless them. They can do 90. Yeah. They can handle. And if the speed limit's 90, I guarantee you they're doing 100. So the thing about this Christian walk, there is liberty, freedom. I set you free. God sets you free. The word sets you free. And the thing is, how free do you want to be?
Right.
And when you get free, don't ever go back.
Amen.
You know, some people have gone to jail. And when they get out, you know what they tell themselves? I ain't never going back there again. When you're in bondage, they tell you when to get up. They tell you when to lay down. They tell you how to dress. They tell you how to walk. I sound like, y'all thought I was talking about the prisoner. No, I was talking about church world. Bondage. But when you get free, you're like, I never going back. And that's what the word is saying here.
Amen.
Stand there. Stand fast. Amen. Don't move. Don't let nobody take you back to jail. Don't let nobody put you under bondage. Don't let nobody tell you you're not good enough. You're not living good enough. You're not acting good enough. If you're doing what God's telling you to do, if it's 45 miles an hour, that's just keep on driving. You know what? They talk a lot. And they criticize a lot. And a lot of people who criticized me in 1980 aren't here today.
Right.
Most of them are not here today.
Amen.
Matter of fact, all of them are not here today.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, they think you're passing you up, Brother Children. Remember what Brother Children said? Can I prophesy? Because they said, Parnell's group's going to pass you up. They were saying, they're going to pass us up. They're going to pass us up. And Brother Children said, can I prophesy?
Yeah.
Says they'll never pass us up. Because it's not a race like that. It's not, I know this and you know that. And amongst Christians, it's not a how much you know or how little you know. It's not. It's about what God's revealed to me.
Right.
I'm only responsible for what God has revealed to me. And when God reveals it to me, I don't care what you think about it. You didn't give it to me and you can't take it away.
Amen.
And I'll stand right there. I don't care if it hairlifts the devil. I don't care if the devil likes it or not. They say you're not good enough. They say you're not fast enough. They say you're not smart enough. That's okay. They say you don't know enough. That's okay. But for me, God has shown me what he's shown me, and I'm going to live with that right there and be happy to serve God in the state that I'm in. Whatever state you're in, be content with that.
Amen.
Stand fast in the liberty where there's Christ. He's the one that's done it. Christ has made me free.
Amen.
He said, well, how can you? That's what a brother asked me in New Zealand when I was down in New Zealand, that real smart, educated He was taking his doctorate in French in New Zealand. And I'm like, oh my God, this man is smart. He asked me, he said, can I walk with you? Because I like to get away. And when you're in a meeting like that, I get away from the people. And I was in all this meeting, and I thought, I need to go walk. And I asked the brother, is there somewhere I can just take a walk? He said, well, brother, if you go down this way and just take this path, it'll swing you around and bring you all the way back. I said, that's where I'm going. So I started walking, so I just wanted to get away from everybody because I'm weird that way. I needed to just decompress. And so I walked away, and while I was walking, this brother comes up next to me and says, can I walk with you, brother? Can I walk with you? And I'm like, sure. And he starts telling me who he was, and he had his degrees in this and the degrees in that, and he was from, I forget where he was from, but he was taking a degree, his doctorate, in a language that was not his birth language. And I'm like, why would anybody put themselves, I can't do a doctorate in English. But he was doing it in a foreign language. So he's walking with me, and he asked me, he said, brother, can I ask you this? He says, you talk about the grace of God and the freedom. He says, what keeps your people? I said, what? He said, what keeps them? I said, well, the love of God. I don't put law on them and make them do stuff and make them do, make. I said, they love God. Amen. They serve God because they want to serve God. Do you realize I serve God because I want to serve God? Amen. If you don't want to serve God, don't. Be honest. Don't put yourself in some kind of law trying to serve a God that you don't even know. Be real. Be free.
Amen.
Fly, little bird. Fly. If you don't want to be here, don't. That's why I never hope. You know, it's funny because people sneak out. You know, there's people gone that y'all don't even know they're gone. They're like, they just sneak out. You know why? They ain't gonna talk to me about it. Because they already know what I'm going to say. Get to the house. So they sneak in and they sneak out. I think, that's not freedom. Well, you got freedom to come. I guess it is freedom. You got freedom to come. You got freedom to go. I always say you can go. It don't hurt my feelings that you're going to tip out. I, you know, that's on you. But all you're doing is going back into bondage. You're leaving freedom and going back into bondage. This is what I'm reading about. This is what I'm talking about. Why in the world would I get out of jail? You know, there are people. I just thought, you know, there are people. They're so prison-oriented. They spent most of their life in prison. That's all they know. The best way to get a meal, if you go out here and you're free, you got to go work. You starve to death out there. Some people like to be in bondage. They want somebody to tell them when to get up, when to sit down, how to dress, how to act, how to speak, how to look. They're prison broke. Institutionalized. That's the word I'm looking for. They're institutionalized. There are church people who are institutionalized. An institutionalized prisoner is somebody who was free, who was then put in prison, and they were in prison so long, they thought this was the way of life. And then after their 20-year sentence, the judge says that they're free. They walk outside the prison door, and they're like, oh, well now, wait a minute. How am I going to eat? How am I going to get around? You know, when I was in jail, they fed me 3 times a day. Wasn't the best food, but it was food that kept me alive. And you know what? My friends are there. Everybody, all my friends are still there. And if I needed to go somewhere, they provided a bus to take us. And I can make a little cash working, making license plates. Out here, I got to go out and try to get a job. They're not going to hire me because I got a record. It's like, so I can't get a job. I don't have a place to live. Well, it was warm. Don't have a place to live. Don't have nothing to eat. You know what I think I'll do? I'll go rob this drugstore. Because if I rob this drugstore, and I'm going to get caught, because I'm going to go in there with a loaded gun, lay it on the counter with my license. And I'm going to hang around until I hear the sirens. And then I'm going to run out the door. And when the police tackle me, I'm going to hit him a couple of times for resisting arrest. That should give me at least 5 to 10. By the time this institutionalized Christian gets through, he's back in bondage. But it's where he wants to be. There's people who come to the message. And this message sets you free. When I was in apostolic, we worked. We worked like a dog. We bought and sold, and we made pies and sold those, and we collected bottles and newspaper. And we did, Melanie, you remember Mama doing collecting newspaper and bottles? We collected bottles in the neighborhood and brought them home to Mama, who could take them and get 10 cents a bottle. Then she took that money, and she didn't feed her 10 kids. She gave it back to the church. Work, 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 work. In church on Sunday. In church Sunday night. In church Bible study Monday. Choir practice Tuesday. In church Wednesday. In church Thursday. Friday night saints meeting. If you're lucky, you got Saturday off so you can go get some more bottles. We were institutionalized under the guise of Christianity. Then I come here, and we got a prophet. You say you're tired of hearing about the prophet. You're institutionalized. That prophet set us free.
Amen.
He brought us the truth on the whole Bible.
Amen.
And it set us free. I didn't sell one bottle when I got here. I didn't have to collect one newspaper when I got here. I didn't have to have one pie sale when I got here. I was set free.
Amen.
And sat at a table that was spread, that was full of good eating. I could pick from anything on the table to eat. A smorgasbord, a 7-course meal. I had everything I needed right in front of me.
That's right.
I didn't have to bake it. I didn't have to cook it. I didn't have to make it up. I didn't have to figure it out. God sent me a prophet and laid all of it out before me. And then he said, just come on in here and dine with me.
Yes.
But what's it going to cost? Oh, it's paid for.
Yeah.
Well, what's it going to cost me? Oh, don't worry about that. It's already paid for.
Amen.
And you don't want this? You're institutionalized. You want somebody to hold you to something. You want law. You want to be under bondage. You want to be under something that you can put your hands on. Because see, the prisoners, they got things they can put their hands on. They know they got a bed over there. They know they got clothes because they put them in an orange jumpsuit. They dress them. They tell them how to dress. They tell them what to eat, when to eat, where to eat. Some people like that. Stand in the liberty which Christ has made you free, made us free. And don't be entangled again. Why would you leave this freedom and go back to bondage?
Come on.
Had some brothers tell me one time, we had fellowship with them for years. Met them one time, the brother said, well, I left the message. What? Where'd you go? Well, I went over to this Church of Christ church. They got good music. You left freedom to go to a Church of Christ prison. Yeah, we don't fight there. In the message, y'all fight. Over there, it's against their law. You got to love them if you don't love them. You got to act like you love them. You got to act like everybody's believers. Brother Brown said, in the backyard, we scrap. We fight each other. We talk about each other. That's a real brother. We tell each other the truth. That's freedom. But you'd rather go somewhere where everybody's got a facade. Because that's required. If you don't do it that way, you're not a Christian. Don't go back and be entangled, twisted up, roped up, tied up. Don't get back into that same. Wait. When you're in the truth, where else are you going to go? Ask Peter. Jesus asked him, said, hey, up, time up. You want to go? He's like, where are we going? I ain't going nowhere. Only you. You are the only one with the words of eternal life. You're the only one with the liberty. You're the only one where I can really be free. You're the only one where I can really be myself.
Amen.
When you got this message in your hands, once you come into this message, Beth, it's on your hands now. What are you going to do with it? You going to go back to that bondage? You know what it was like in bondage? The believers don't want to be in bondage. We want to be free. I want to be free to serve God.
Yes. Amen.
Don't be entangled again in this mess that you left. Where are you going? Where do people go when they leave here? Home. Because they ain't going to find nothing better. Oh, my son said, we're going to leave. We're going to find us an African-American church. To help our kids get balanced in the African-American culture. I said, that's a lie from the pit of hell. They went to church 1 week, I think, and been home ever since. You can't find them better than freedom. You can't find them better than liberty. You're not going to go find nothing better than this. I ain't seen one person ever leave this church ever find anything better. Don't be entangled again with the yoke. I looked that up, y'all. The yoke in the Bible, the yoke sometimes is referenced metabolically to describe the weight of a task or obligation. If coming to church is a task for you, that's a yoke. I can go down a whole list, but I won't. Whatever you're doing, if whatever you're doing is a task for you. Right. Oh, headship is so hard. That's a yoke of bondage. You're not free. Because when you really understand it, you realize, he did that for me? All I got to do is lean on, you know, the old wedding. In the old days, when you got married, in the wedding, the bride would take her veil and lay it on the groom's shoulder, denoting that everything I have is yours. Now we look at that as bad. That was liberty. Because more than likely, that wedding dress she has on is on credit. And it's coming due next month. Somebody's got to pay the mover. They used to actually take the husband's last name. I get so confused now. I was hollering at the TV and asking somebody, I don't remember, Melanie or somebody. I was hollering, I said, why are these guys, I'm seeing more and more hyphenated names on these football players. They don't have enough room on the back of the jerseys. They got Smith-Jones. this dash this. I'm like, what is this I'm starting to see here? And somebody tried to explain to me that these are women who didn't take their husband's last name, or they hyphenated it, and when they hyphenated it, it included both names. So they didn't take on his name. They kept their name and took his with it. That's like Clarice is Clarice Dash Moore. No, she's Clarice Moore. When she gave her vows, her bills became mine. Her apartment, $50 a month bill, became mine. Her water bill became mine. Her house bill became mine. And I was responsible for moving her into my house. I actually took on the load, and she actually was set free. So when Jesus took on our load, and we put our veil on him, my life became his responsibility. Amen. My bills became his bills. My problems became his problems. My sickness became his sickness. I was let go. I wasn't put in bondage by serving God. I was set free. And the headship of serving him didn't become a load on me. It set me free.
Yes.
You said, I looked at it as, well, you're looking at it wrong. You need to look at it again. Revisit it again. Realize that he took on your burdens. He took on your sins. That's headship.
Amen.
Oh, we want to say thank God he took on our sins, but then we talk about headship at home. Lord, I ain't listening to that man. But that home is just a type of Jesus Christ. Setting us free. Taking us out of bondage. That husband, somebody said today, Mike said, I understand why Brother Moore says, in order for you to marry a sister at a church, you got to have a place to take her. And the reason he says that is because it's a type of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus ain't fooling around.
No.
He ain't saying, well, I don't know. We're going to get together, but I don't know where we're going. He said, I got a prayer place for you. I got a home for you. I got a marriage supper for you. We don't have to pay for the marriage. Who's paying for the marriage supper? You ain't even thought about that. Y'all talk about going to the marriage supper. Where's your ticket? How much it cost you? You're free.
Amen.
He took care of the cost. When he died at Calvary, it took care of your past, present, and future sins.
Amen.
It took care of this life. It took care of your rapture.
Amen.
It took care of the new heaven, the new earth, the marriage supper, and everything that's lying ahead of us.
Amen.
We don't own nothing.
Right.
And you say headship's hard. Don't be entangled again. Paul said that if you be circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. Because people think, if I do something, then Christ has got to have me. But anything you do is worth nothing.
Amen.
It's filthy rags. He's got to give us the dress to be put on.
That's right.
He clothes us.
Yes.
He gave us this white robe. He told us what the true balance of the message is. He told us how the word really runs. Oh, you listen to those denominations out there, yeah, and somebody listened to them. They said that Jay said he's looking at them and listening to them. I listen to them. I turn the channel and listen to them sometime and find myself hollering at the radio. Because they totally miss it. They don't have a balance on it. They go from one bondage to another bondage. I had a guy that was interviewing for a job with me one time, and he told me, he said, yeah. I said, I got a question for you. There's about 2 years in your job description that are missing. I see where you worked here, and you get up here, and there's 2 years skipped, and then you got another job here. What about these 2 years? And he said, well, I was doing paperwork for a year. I had a job at the London Correctional Institute filing papers. I said, really? They hired you when they got 1,500 prisoners. They hired you to come in to file paperwork for a year. I said, huh. Then what about the second year? Well, the second year I filed papers at the other institute that's across the road. I guess there's another one up there somewhere. I don't know. He went to another, worked as a filing clerk, I guess, for another position. And I looked and I thought, this guy's been in jail. He wasn't employed. They didn't hire you. They have people that can get this, do that for free. People don't call it jail. They call it Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost. They call it message church. They call it home. I'd rather stay home than to come to that church. It's just trading one prison for another. Same old thing. And then they think if I stay home and I be a good person, then you know what? You can stay home and wear dresses all you want. It ain't gonna profit you nothing. You go to hell in that dress. I don't understand it. If I'm going to go to hell, I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to enjoy my way. I'm going in a limousine, not in a Volkswagen. I'm going to ride that thing on out. If I'm not going to serve God, I'm really not going to. You think I'm bad now? You let God not be in my life. Like Jeremiah said, I can be much worse than I am. Don't sit at home and act like you're a Christian. You think you're better than us because you're sitting at home with your self-righteous? I don't know. I just can't do self-righteous. That just gets me. That gets me. As you probably know, it does get to me because every time I hit that, I have to actually stop because I'm about ready to blow. And it's like, I can't stand self-righteous people. They're nasty as can be. They're evil, mean. They talk about everybody else, and they act like they're a Christian. And then you say, well, where are you going to church? I ain't. Can't find one that's good enough. You'll never find a church that's good enough because the moment you find a perfect church, you ruin it. But he has let us free, and your self-righteous circumcision doesn't do anything for him. Paul said, just because you're circumcised don't mean you're ready for the journey. Just because you wear a dress don't mean you're ready for a journey. Just because you know Brother Branham's books don't mean you're ready for a journey. Just because you know what predestination means don't mean you're ready for a journey. Gotta be born again, Brother Lockett. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. If you're going to hold the law on me, God's going to hold the law on you. If you're going to judge me by the law, God's going to judge you by the law. So you think you're going to try to put me in some kind of prison? I ain't going to jail. I ain't going to jail. I ain't going back. I ain't going back. I'm a stand fast in the liberty. God has set me free, and I ain't never going back. I told Nadine and Clarice that in 1980 when God started dealing with me and I got my first revelation. He said, this is your home. This is your home. And I said, okay, Lord, that sounds good. Let me wait and see what Nadine and Clarice says. He said, no, I didn't say that. I said, this is your home. In other words, you got to do this for yourself. Beth, this is for you. You and God's got to do this. Nobody else. It's you and him alone. And when he told me this was my home, I said, yes, Lord. And I told Nadine and Clarice when we got out of church, I said, I don't know what y'all going to do, but I'm never going back. See, I got out of jail. I got released from prison. God gave me a new birth. He gave me a new life. And I told them, I said, I'm never going back. And I meant it, and I never have gone back. Oh, but Nadine went back. See, that's why God wasn't saying wait until Nadine and Clarice, because God knew she wasn't going to make it. And he knew I wasn't going to be able to wait on her. But she went back. You said, where is she today? I don't know. She's in some prison serving time.
Yeah.
See, that's an awful thing to say. I got to say it. When you walk out these doors, you walk into prison. You think you're free. But I never seen one person, Brother Lockett, all the years we've been here, have we seen one person ever find a better church?
Not one.
They've gone out, started churches, and they get their numbers up, and they get them over 100, and next thing you know, they're... Where are they at today? Went over to Indiana. Saw a brother who had a church, had a congregation. Good people! I'm not talking about bad people. I'm talking about good people. But when they got away from the word of God, the church scattered. And where are they at today? In bondage. Somewhere. If they're not sitting under the word of the hour, they're in bondage. You say, well, I didn't go back to prison. I just stayed at home. Your home is your prison. Some people get under house arrest. Still in bondage. You ain't free. You're just in a step down facility. For I testify to every man that is circumcised that he's a doer to the whole law. See, when you start trying to point fingers at everybody else, this one's guilty. That one's guilty. This has got a problem. That's got a problem. You watch. Their heads can really blow up. Because after a while, there's going to be so many people that you have plucked and picked at that, you know what? This church ain't good enough for me. That's how Satan does it. That's how he's always done it. I've watched it. They start in the front. They work their way back. They get on this seat. And they get on this seat. And the whole time, they're backing up. And I'm sitting on the organ. Watching. Bounce, bounce, bounce. And I'm watching. Then they get busy. Got the family. Got to take care of the family. Then you go, oh, I got to be home. Then they start skipping every other service. Then next thing you know, they're missing two or three services. Then next thing you know, you haven't seen them in a week or month. Next thing you know, they don't ever tell me goodbye. Nobody ever tells me they're leaving. Only reason I know they're gone is they're gone. I know if you're eagle, you got to come here because you got to eat the word of God. This is where the table is. This is where the freedom is. And if you're not here, you're not eating. And if you're not eating, you're not living. And if you're not living, you're dead.
Amen.
You say, well, I didn't want to get up this morning. You got a problem. You got a serious problem. And you need to go see a doctor. Dr. Jesus here. You need to come see a doctor. You say, well, I just felt lazy, didn't feel like getting dressed for church. You lying devil. Something else. There's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. Because the word of God will draw the believers to the house of God. His word said, where the carcass is, there the eagles will be drawn, will be gathered together. Don't lie to me. Why have you chosen to lie to the Holy Ghost? You got to understand, we're in the hour of the Son of Man. When you're telling these lies, you're not telling those lies to me. You're not telling those lies to your family. You're not telling those lies to yourself. You're telling those lies to God.
Right.
You got to hold you accountable for that.
That's right.
You sit in your house arrest. You feel like you're free. You think you're free because you're not at Lucasville or some other prison. You said, I'm at home. I got my windows I can open. I can go across the living room. I can even go to the front door. I'm free. You ain't free. Quit lying to yourself. As long as somebody has a bondage over you and to say so about where you can go, what you can do, you are in prison. Whether it's at home, at Lucasville, or at church. If you're going to keep the law, keep it all. I want to see you with the sacrifice. I want to see you with the Ten Commandments. I want to see you taking that lamb, putting it on that altar, slaying it. I ain't seen you do that yet. You're so holy. You're so righteous. You got all this together. We don't know what we're doing. You got it all together. If you're guilty, you need to do it a whole law. Go up there and walk those steps over in Jerusalem. Do the whole law. Bring that heifer in there. Slay it. Do it all. Pray to Jerusalem. Do all these things. If you're going to keep the law, if you're going to start pointing and keeping the laws, you better keep the whole law. For you're a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect to you. You carry the Bible all you want. Read it and say, I'm going to read it and pray at home. I'm going to be at home and pray. I don't need that church. All right? Christ is none effect to you. The anointing won't even hit you. You'll be as mad and puffy as you've ever been. Mad about leaving and mad about staying. You're in prison. If you're sitting here today because you have to be, you're in prison. If you're, like I said about singing, I realized singing is a testimony with music. I shall not be, I knew I was going to be preaching. That's why that song got to me. I said, I shall not be moved. I said, everybody in this place should be screaming that song to the top of their lungs, because they should let the devil know they shall not be moved. You say, you're being pretty tough. I'm just telling you the truth. This is a house of correction. If you don't want correction, turn it off. If you don't want correction, don't come. Say, I don't like headship. Well, then don't come. Say, well, I quit going. You know, I thought they're going to take all the tithe payers away from us. When they made the church split one time, they said, all brother children got left are blacks and people who don't have any money. Poor people. Sorry, Don. We were poor. We were poor. And they were right. But what they didn't know is that we had liberty. And they moved from one bondage to another. One taskmaster to another. It's like, which taskmaster is better? None. You don't want any. When you're free, you're free. Christ come no effect. Whosoever of you is justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. If you can't find grace, all you have is the law. That's it. It's either grace or law. You're either going to have grace or you're going to have law. And if you're in a house full of grace and truth, what are you going to give one another? Grace and truth. That's all I got. I'm sorry. They say, well, you need to tell these people. No, I don't. You talk to God. God will tell them. Well, all my job is to come up here and tell you, preach. And I preach. And I put the grace and the truth out there. I don't put a bunch of law out there. I'm trying to tell y'all better be here. If y'all are here at 9:30 praying in your seats, then you don't have the Holy Ghost. Now, I could say that. I could do that. And you know what y'all would do? Y'all would break your neck trying to get here by 9:30. Some of you are going to oversleep. Some of you are going to forget to set the alarm. Some are going to be pushing, doing the best they can. And the best they do, you're going to be late getting here. And according to the law, you lost it. If you all don't wear suits, you brothers, if all you brothers don't wear suits, you don't even have the Holy Ghost. Our brothers are like, oh. Put a suit on Don, he'd be sitting there all the time. I was like, I shall not be moved. It's like, it felt like it just lay him in a coffin. But that's law. That's bondage. That's what people, that's what we do to each other.
Amen. Yeah, you're right, Lord. You're right. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And if you're going to go by the, if you're justified by the law, then you have fallen from grace. What are you going to do when you get so much law in you that you're going to criticize everybody in here and walk out the door? You just walked away from grace.
Right.
So where are you going to go now? bondage. So I was thinking about this week while I was fishing. I didn't say nothing. I just put a little note on my phone. I had my phone over there. I got notes on it where I just was sitting there thinking. I sit and fish and think. Stand forth. Stand fast in the liberty. For Christ has made you free. Amen. Yes, Lord. But where are we going from there? And then boom, 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 boom. I got to get moving because I'm not getting anywhere fast. Satan has no more power, only as he can bluff with it. When you have liberty, all Satan can do is bluff. Amen. He bluffs you about your life. He bluffs you about what you can do. He bluffs you about what you didn't do. He bluffs you about not being good enough and not worthy enough. Everybody else is better than you. On and on and on. He goes down the list, and that's all he is a big bluff. Tries to put fear in your mind about, oh, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. He is not a prophet. And he lies. He's the father of lies. So if he says it's going to happen, don't believe it. If he can bluff you in it, all right. You'd have it. But legally, he has no power at all. Every power he had was taken from him at Calvary. That's where the price was paid. He is nothing but a bluff. If you want to listen to the bluff, well, all right. I mean, you can do it. You can do it. That's why I'm saying stand fast, because you don't have to stand fast. If you want to let the devil blow you around and knock you around, go right ahead. He can do it. If you want to feel like you're not good enough, then oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, whatever way you want to go. If you want to give it to God, give it to God. If you want to give it to Satan, give it to Satan. You have that ability. You have that right. You can do that. But God wants you to realize that he is just a bluff. But you don't have to. You are free tonight. He made you free. And now if something in the Word can make you realize that you are free by his grace, or if something else, realize that the Word makes you understand, or some act of God, that it included you, it includes us all. Then you just accept it on those bases. You just accept it. See, you don't feel grace. You don't smell grace. You just have to accept it. Jesus died for my sins. I just accept it. He has given me the word of the hour. I just accept it. And it says, let's see here. You don't have to feel any different. You don't have to feel anything at all. It's not based upon. Jesus never did say, do you feel it? He said, do you believe it? Amen. See, when you believe the word, you act upon it. Right. That's why I said Beth has been baptized. As she hears the word and she starts taking that word in, you watch her life change. And it won't be anything other than she's believing the word of God. Amen. It's not because I'm going to dictate, we're going to make her do this and we're going to do that. She's been set free.
Amen. Amen. Right.
Jesus never did say, do you feel it? He said, do you believe it? It's faith. It's our faith is an arm, a mighty arm that holds the sharp two-edged sword of God. And that sharp two-edged sword will cut every promise free. If that arm of faith is able to yield to the sword, some people have very weak muscles. Have very weak muscle trouble, and they can maybe cut off a little scratch. Enough to join a church. Others can come into justification. Some can go all the way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A great strong arm holding this Bible can cut every promise free. That's right. So be strong in the Lord. That's what we need to be. We don't need to have that yoke upon us and come to church feeling like I've got to do this. You look at it now and you say, oh, Skyler got up and he led some service. Now I got to do it. No. I hate to wear work. If that becomes a burden on you, then that ain't for you. Do something else. Pastor said this morning that our singing is our testimony. Maybe I should actually let my lips move when I sing. I was singing in my heart, You can do that. But if that's a yoke, don't worry about it. We're not going to kick you out of church for that. We're here to help you any way that we can. You say, I'm shy. You just don't understand. I'm shy. You just don't understand. I don't do this because this is my career path. Circumcision was an Old Testament law. To save time, I'm not going to read it, but I'll give you the scripture. Genesis chapter 17, I'll read it. This is my covenant, which ye also shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child amongst you should be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And I thought this was interesting because here, the word of God said, be circumcised. The word said it. I read it to you. It's Genesis 17, verse 10 and 11. It is the word of God. Now, I also just read to you a little bit ago, Paul said,
right.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There's a problem here.
Yeah.
Something changed.
Yeah. Come on.
The word said be circumcised, and Paul said don't worry about it. I thought that was interesting. So to help out this situation, because I'm in a quandary. I'm hearing the word say do it, and I'm hearing the word say it doesn't matter if you do it or not. Do it. Do it or not. That sounds like a contradiction. Sounds to me like the Bible's got a problem. Problem ain't the Bible. The problem is our thinking, our interpretation. Over here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 12, says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross' sake. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. They're circumcised. He was saying, we have believers who are circumcised, like Moses said, like I just read, because what I read you was what Moses said do. And over here in Galatians, he said, now there are some who are circumcised and they don't keep the law. But desire to have you circumcised, that they may show glory in your flesh. They want you to do it because they've done it. Because Moses said do it. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't about any of that. Your good living, your holiness, your righteousness, how smart you are, how holy, good, clean you think you live, or how bad you think you live. You know, some of y'all actually live bad. I'll just say some of us. Because I don't want y'all to feel like I'm up on some pedestal better than y'all. No. Some of us actually live bad, have problems, have issues, have troubles. And we need to work on it. A lot of times we think we're only talking about the good people. I'm talking about the good people and the bad. Because there's a ditch on both sides. There's people who are really, really good, and there's people who are really, really bad. And then everybody else falls in the middle somewhere. That's where we all are. Come on. Am I right? Come on. Come on. Don't make me stand up here by myself now. I'm like, I'm feeling a little lonely here. Like, maybe it's just me.
Amen, Lord.
But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. And I unto the world. I died to the world. You know, I don't care for the world. I don't care to go back to the world. I don't want to go back to prison. That prison lifestyle is dead to me. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. What I thought Moses said, he did. But there come a time that Moses' law was only good until Jesus came. See, people are still trying to live under Moses' law, and that's why those Ten Commandments in your front yard don't mean nothing to us. We're acting like Jews, putting them out there like they're for us. Those Ten Commandments aren't even for us. Not the Gentiles. We were heathens. We didn't even know God. We didn't have nothing to do with Moses. And didn't have nothing to do with those things. And when the Jews first got the Holy Ghost, Peter and them didn't even want to deal with us and thought that we couldn't be saved.
Amen.
But then God let us speak in tongues in front of Peter's own face. And he said, well, looky here, looky here. I guess there can be Gentile saints too. See, Peter was prejudiced. He had a problem. He had a little trouble. Now, I got sort of hooked up and just caught up in this last night. I was reading, and I'm not going to read all this because it's a lot. Acts chapter 15. This is a story about Paul. And what was interesting to me was that when the Jews started to get saved and the Gentiles started coming into the church, they were having a contention over the fact that the Gentiles were not getting circumcised. And they had meetings over it. They wrote letters over it. They had all this. That was a big deal because, you know, people were still stuck under the law. And that's the thing is, we have a hard time letting go of the law. They had a hard time letting go of the law. They were saying the Gentiles couldn't be saved because they weren't circumcised. And Gentiles are saying, I ain't doing it. I'm free. I got liberty. I got the Holy Ghost just like you. If I got the Holy Ghost, I don't need no circumcision. And they literally were having a contended fight. They were arguing over whether or not the Gentiles really had the true Holy Ghost or not. And they wrote Paul, they wrote Peter, they wrote all. They were talking back and forth, Cornelius and all. Everybody's talking about it. Over there in chapter 15, just the first verse says, a certain man which came down from Judea taught the brethren, saying, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Yeah. These are the church people, still full of tradition.
Right.
See, we come over here, still full of tradition.
Amen.
We think he's got to do this, you got to do that, got to have this. Just as bad as that man was coming down trying to tell the Gentiles, you got to be circumcised. Right. And the reason he said he had to be circumcised was because Moses said, He was right, but he was wrong.
Amen.
And he would say that Gentiles couldn't be saved unless they were circumcised. And just jump down just to save time, verse 5. But there arose up a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Church folk. Believing in Jesus. Says, yeah, it's good that Jesus died for our sins, but we got to keep the law. Sounds familiar? That's why church people have problems being free. Because as much as we say we're free, we still hold on to the law. I remember Brother Childers saying, I got one last law that I want to get rid of.
Amen.
And he preached marriage and divorce. Romans 7, and went over there and said, it's just a type. I died. I died hard. Because I was one of his biggest, I was like, no, no. And Brother Chills told me, he says, oh, Brother Moore, he didn't want me to marry Sandy. I'm like, nope. Mm-mm. The word says, I had all my law. I had Moses' law.
Yeah.
I had Brother Childers' law. And I told him, I said, Brother Childers, I preach what I preach because you taught me. So don't get too mad about it when I can't just jump out on it. Because see, I don't just jump out on anything. People thought I had my head in the sand. But you know what? I had it poked up on the other side. I was looking. I'd never swallow nothing just because somebody said it. When Brother Childers and Brother Parnell would have these conversations, they were deeper than I could go. And they had these deep discussions. And I didn't see it. I just sit there and let them talk. till they came back up for air. I was like, okay, now I can get with you. But I don't jump out on nobody's limbs. But they were having this discussion, and they were going back and forth about it because they said they had to keep Moses' law. And the apostles and the elders, verse 6, came together for the to consider this matter. See, it was a big deal. They all got together and said, now how about this? Do they need to be circumcised or not? You think right now, you think, well, it ain't no big deal. Nobody asked me whether I was circumcised or not when I come to this message. Because it's not even necessary. But back then, it was a big deal. And when there had been much disputing, not just discussion, they were arguing over it. Arguing over the quotes. Oh. Arguing over the scriptures. Trying to figure it out. Trying to make it all fit. And it didn't all fit. Because you might see where Moses said one thing, and then it come up here to Jesus and Paul. You know what? When John the Baptist come on the scene, remember? He had a case that he was going to have them, the divorced couple up there, that he was going to get rid of them because he said that he took his brother's wife, and he was going to have them. And the law said, and John was right.
He was.
But then Jesus come on the scene, and they caught a woman in the act of adultery. Brought her to Jesus knowing what Moses' law said, knowing what Jesus had to do, knowing what the right thing was to do. Brought her naked.
Yeah.
She is lucky if she had a sheet around her, because they caught her in the bed, in the very act, right in the middle of it. Drug her in front of Jesus and knew what Moses' law said. So they thought, here, what are you going to do now? We're going to stone her. But Jesus, knowing the law, knew that grace was on the scene.
Yes.
Oh my, when liberty comes,
I
don't care what condition you're called in. See, people have levels of conditions, and depending on the levels of condition is how they judge you. But they shouldn't be judging you at all, because where there is liberty, there is no law. They brought her to Jesus having Moses' law in their mind, said, you're going to have to do something about this because now we got you. We got you. What are you going to do about her? Come on. Come on. They had to rock. Come on. Tell us. What are you going to do, Jesus? What are you going to do, Jesus? What are you going to do, Jesus? Jesus looked at that woman, got down there, and said, was out at this address last night. And the brother that was at that address looks at, oh. And Jesus down there had about five more left. He just, last Tuesday, you did this. They're like, oh. And Jesus went through that with each one of them. Because ain't nobody good.
Amen.
Don't tell me you're holy. Don't tell me you're righteous. Don't tell me you're a good liver. Because you're not.
Amen.
You're not. Even if you think you are, you're not.
Amen.
So when Jesus got finished writing all their sins in the sand, he looked around. He's waiting to get the next one. He didn't have nobody left to write. And he's like, woman, where are your accusers? They all had Moses' law on their side. But grace and truth was standing right before her. And he said, where's your accusers? She said, well, I don't have any. And Jesus, the only one that could have hit her with a rock. He could have. He was the only one standing there that could have hit her. And he said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Moses' law said one thing, but grace and truth said something else. Moses' law says circumcised, but grace and truth said there's no matter whether it's circumcision or uncircumcision. It doesn't matter either way. It's grace and truth is what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this whole contention, and the last thing that they told him when they got finished with the argument, verse 20 says, but and they said, let's give them something. Let's give them something. Don't worry about the circumstances. Just tell them what to do here. But here was the final on the whole matter. Verse 20.
Yeah.
but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Period. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. Really? You mean I don't have to be circumcised? No. It's not about circumcision of the flesh. It's now in circumcision of the heart. It changed. It was still circumcision, but it was a circumcision of the heart. Brother Branham said, definition of circumcision is getting that extra flesh out of the way. This. This. When I have circumcision of the heart, it gets this flesh out of the way. I ain't worried about it. And I thought that was a big deal to them. And I looked at that, and I thought about it, and I'm not going to read it, because I just kept on going through Acts last night. I was watching the walk of Paul through Acts and the trouble he got into. They got maddened because he went into temples with the Gentiles, and he was sitting up there 7 days to purification. And they were doing the things that they do, and the church world got mad because he was dealing with the Gentiles and telling them not to circumcise them. So they arrested him, took him to Pilate, I didn't even finish it last night. It was getting late, and I thought, I got to stop. I kept reading. I went about 5, 6, 7 chapters in, and I was like, get him, Paul. Because they kept on they were passing around back and forth trying to figure out who can judge him, because the church world was trying to judge him, but the world wouldn't find nothing wrong with him. Right. Sounds familiar. Yeah. We have more trouble out of church people than we do the world. Yeah. And it's because the church people are trying to keep some law that the world's like, well, I don't see nothing wrong with that. That's what the leaders are saying. Says, you know, I don't see no problem with that. What's wrong with this? Why y'all want him dead? Why are you trying to kill him? Because they were passing back and forth because they were trying to kill him without a cause. Church people try to kill you without a cause. By trying to use Moses' law against them. So just to keep moving, over in James chapter 2. One little verse here. Verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. None of us can get away from that. You say, well, Don, I know you did this. You're right. But Christ took care of that. Why do you think he took care of your past, present, and future? Don't you think that's strange? Yeah, when you're born again, Beth, you're not supposed to sin no more. Because you've been baptized. And he took care of your past sins. The way the church world looks at that, he only took care of your past sins. But Brother Branham, who we should want to hear what he had to say, told us he took care of our past, our present. You mean I have sin now? And our future, meaning what you going to do on Monday. God already took care of that. Amen. I'm not going to sin on Monday. Shut up, liar. Shut up, liar. You know you're going to mess up tomorrow. And that's why we need the grace of God. That's why we need to understand how liberty really works. And when you're set free, don't let nobody put you back in bondage. Oh, they'll read you this act. They'll read you that act. They'll read the book of Moses. They'll tell you about the Bible. They'll tell you about the prophet. They'll tell you about a lot of stuff. But they'll try to put you back under shackles again. And don't let them do that to you.
No, sir.
Amen.
John chapter 1, verse 16. And out of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Yes. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The law only put us in jail. Jesus came and let us out. Now, Brother Branham said, let's take, for instance, Jesus. How hard it was. him to come and change the message from law to grace. They had followed Moses' law for what? 4,000 years? 4,000 years of training? 4,000 years of law? And it was preached in every country, every nation. Everybody knew the law of Moses. Yet the Bible says it would come that way. There'd come a Messiah, and the daily sacrifice would be taken away. And we know it was prophesied through the prophets. What a great thing it was for him to do that. But we find that he did it, and he did it because the scripture said, and the believers of that day, so-called believers, absolutely would not agree with him. They were churchy. They were religious. People are so religious. We've never had a time. Everybody's religious. Everybody is. Everybody has to be religious. And I'm not talking about church going. I'm just saying they all have some kind of religion. That's why you go places, people say, have a blessed day. It's not just another way. Another word, a badge. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed day. Why? Why can't I have just a good day? Why does it have to be blessed? Maybe I don't believe in blessings. Maybe I don't like blessings, but everybody's spiritual. They're not Christians. They're spiritual. Some of them don't even believe in God, but they're spiritual. They'll say, there's a greater being. Who is it? I don't know. But have a blessed day. Look at those Pharisees, Sadducees. They had their own traditions, and no one's going to shake them from it. Look at those Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostals. Yeah. Look at those Methodist people. Nobody's going to shake them from it. That's what they believe. Their mothers believe that. Their daddy believed that. And their grandpa and grandma believed that. And Moses said so. They had scripture to back up their belief. But the same Moses that gave the law was the same Moses that gave the guy that said this guy would come, and they failed to recognize it because they had got the true word of God in traditions and had left off the main principle of it, and it had to be that way. They were so stuck on the law that when grace and truth came on the scene, they had a hard time. It blew their mind to change from the law and the rituals. And they fought over the sacrifices. They fought over the baptisms. They fought over the healing on the Sabbath. They fought over the Sabbath day. They fought over circumcision. It was hard. It was hard. Jesus didn't have it made. It was hard to turn that corner because man won't do it. And the Son of Man and the hour we're living in, it's hard to get people to really be liberty, to have the real liberty of the freedom of Christ. It's hard because we're so full of church doctrine, so full of tradition, so full of ideas, and we're so stuck on these things that we can't even get set free. But once God sets you free, don't go back. Don't go back. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law, says Jesus. See, we didn't come to take away the Bible. No. We didn't come to take away all that was built in Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. No. Jesus said, I didn't come to take away the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy it, but to fulfill. I'm all that Luther preached about. I'm all that Wesley preached about. I'm all that Pentecost preached about. I'm all that William Branham preached about.
Amen.
I didn't come to destroy William Branham. I didn't come to destroy this message.
No.
I didn't come to destroy the Bible, the history of this thing. I come to fulfill this thing.
Yes.
And then that fulfillment is liberty.
Right.
Amen.
Don't let nobody put you back in bondage.
Amen.
The reason they didn't accept Jesus, because they were living in a glare of law. And when Jesus came, was not contrary to the law, but come to fulfill the law. Well, they couldn't accept him because his message wasn't exactly the way that they had all created out. And it was called, and it was calling then traditions. And he didn't come according to the traditions. He didn't keep their traditions. Neither do we. That's why the church world can't deal with us. That's why we had trouble. That's why we're not invited everywhere. That's why message people don't invite us everywhere. The traditions, they lock the law. I'm telling you, y'all are blessed to be here. And it's not even to say that we're just a free-for-all living good, just doing. No. The liberty is not used for an occasion. To the flesh. It's to serve God. You are free to serve God like God wants you to serve Him. And really, He upset it and tore it up and done things that was contrary to it, insomuch that they thought that He was breaking up the churches. Don't let Brother Childers in because he breaks up churches. And they couldn't receive Him because of His message. And we all know today that He's come exactly in the line of God's prophecy, but they didn't know it then. We can see it clearly that Jesus was everything that was prophesied that was coming, but they didn't know it then. Just like in the hour that we're living in, Jesus has come in the exact way of His prophecy, and they don't know it now. And I'm not talking about bad people. People leave our church because they're good. Remember the split? Well, some of you don't remember, but split back in whenever it was. They left us because they thought we were bad people. And they were good people. So they took all the good people together and put them in a church where there was only good people. They said our kids were bad. So they had to separate their kids from our kids because our kids were awful and their kids were good. So they took their kids, they took their preachers, they took their wives, they took their women, they took everybody. They just put all together in a big old ring and made a called it a church. Well, the church is gone. The people are scattered. And their kids are bad. Real bad. So if we're going to judge that way, I still don't see a reason why. But because they think they're good, that's what I don't like people think. I don't want you all to think you're good. I'm sorry, I don't. Because people who are good get self-righteous. And when they get self-righteous, eventually they leave because they're gooder than us. And that's the reason they failed to receive Jesus when He first came upon the earth. It's because they were living under a tradition. And Jesus told them, said, "Search the scriptures. They testify of me." Said, "We're Moses' disciples." See, they had the Bible. "We're Moses' disciples." He said, "If you were Moses' disciples, you would believe me. For Moses wrote of me. Look in the scriptures. And those blind, traditional men, yet good men, holy men, no one could put a finger on them." They said, "Well, I'm a good person." Yes, you are. My, you're really good. I can't even find something to talk about you. You're a good person. They're good. Nobody could put a finger on it. Because if you did, they'd be stoned. They were priests, lived an example. There were men that you couldn't put a finger on it because if they did, they'd be stoned. They were good men. They were bound to be good. They were bound to be good men by the law. See, they were by law had to be good. Right. Y'all better be good or I'll send you to hell. They lived good because they had to. That ain't liberty. See, I don't do this with you because you have to. I do this with you because I want you to see the Word of God and put the Word of God in your life and let God change you as He see fit, when and where and how. Not because I'm so lording over you. Because I have preachers that, you know, I feel their foot on my back trying to push me. You know, good living. You know, your church needs to live better. You know, you need to teach them holiness. You need to teach them to live good. You need to make them do this. And I'm like, I feel that. They try to hint at me. They do. Preachers hint, you know. They'll act like they're talking out, you know, like Brother Chills used to. He's talking to Brother Don. He's talking to Brother Jay. Says, you know, you really need to shave that beard. It doesn't look godly. All the time he's talking to Don. And that's what these preachers do. They come up to me. You know, they don't like it because some of y'all wear earrings. They don't like it because some of y'all wear pants. They don't like it because some of you cut your hair. They don't like it because some of you wear makeup. And they know what Brother Branham said about all that. And I know what Brother Branham said about all that. And I believe everything Brother Branham said about that. But you know what? There's liberty. I don't make y'all do anything. If you stop wearing earrings, it's because you and God had a conversation and God said, you know what? That's enough of that. Pick it up, put it down. You wear pants until God says, I don't think I like you in that anymore. You smoke until God says, you know what? You're killing me. We're going to stop that. You drink until he says, you know what? That's enough. You run around until he says, stop. I mean, this is the way it works. It's God dealing with you. Not, I could dictate it. I can force you. I can make you. I could haul you out of here if you come in with earrings. So what good is that going to do with liberty? They were good men. They were bound. Tell them. And these are my brothers that I love. I try to be patient, but it's like, I really wish you'd get your foot off me. I've been doing this for 27 years. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And then people come here, and they get in the atmosphere, and like, wow, this church has liberty. You have real freedom here. Yeah, it comes with a cost. I have to fight for this thing. I have to fight for our liberty because people want me to put my finger on y'all. They leave the church because I won't rebuke you about something you've done. They're just good people. They're good men. I keep going over that. I got to move on. They were bound to be good men by the law. And they were raised up from generation to generation. Their sons and grandsons and great-grandsons all had to be priests, Levites. And yet the men in them trainings, they never know nothing else but seminary and the Bible and was so blind they failed to see him. Same thing today. We're trying to get liberty and set people free. And in the masses, they're binding us. I think it's at a point now, after 60 years, Don, that the Holy Ghost should be in us, controlling us, directing us. Tell us, I remember somebody got up and they mentioned about cutting hair. And Brother Locke come up here and said, leave it alone. That's what the prophet said. Right. It's still the truth. We believe it. Right. We're not up here telling y'all need to go out cut hair. Y'all need to go and put makeup on. Y'all need to. No, we believe what the prophet said. Right. It's still the truth. But I think it, after 60 years, the Holy Ghost should be in you telling you how to look, dress, whatever. Right. It still shouldn't be me doing it. Because if I can do it, I can undo it. Yeah. Right. Amen. If I can dictate it, then it's not liberty.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean I don't believe it. I believe every bit of it. Y'all know it. I've told y'all before. Don't act like you don't know. Oh, what? After 27 years, you don't know what I believe? Mark chapter 7. Oh, my, it's 12:43. I got close. I'm sorry. I got close. I didn't even get to, my goodness, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was that late.
Wow. That's a lot, Lord. Amen. Yeah. Amen, Lord.
I want to read.
Amen.
I'm jumping on down here. I want to read this last thing, and I won't. See, I'm still going. I want to, just one little thing. Just one quote of Brother Branham's, and I'm close, because I want to close with this. In the Old Testament, when a man had been sold to slavery, there come a year of Jubilee every 50 years. 49 years, and then the year of Jubilee. And when the slave heard this, and he wanted to go free, there is nothing that can keep him from going free. Oh, my. There is nothing that can keep us from going free. He can throw down that hole. He can throw down his hole and say, so long. Go back home. The trumpet sounded. That's right. But if he doesn't want to go, and he is satisfied with his slave master, then he is taken into the temple. You leave a church of freedom and go back into a temple. And they take an awl. You know what an awl is? And they press his ear. And they put a hole in his ear. And it's a mark that he can never go back. Is that right? He is to serve the master for all time. I don't care how many more times that Jubilee sounds. Whatever happens, he absolutely has sold out his birthright of being free. And when a man turns down the gospel truth, Satan marks him where? In an ear. He deafens him so he can't hear the truth no more. They never get any better. And he's finished. He stays with the group that he's with if he won't hear the truth. No. You say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, the truth makes free. God marks his when they come. God marks his by vindicating his promises, his promised word through them. That's exactly. St. John 14, 12. And another thing you want to put down is Mark 16. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Just as much as they're marked and they can't hear, God marks you. That's why you need to stand fast in this liberty. If you think you got it bad here, you don't know how bad it could be. We don't run you by laws, Brother Jeremiah, but rules. We don't come by laws. Rules and rituals. We're coming by the Word of God. And this Word makes us free. It creates us. I like the Word. A lot of people say it sets you free. Anything you set free, you can catch again. But if it makes you see it free, it's actually creating you a free being. Christ has made me free. I'm a new creature in Christ. Never to go back again. Never to have my ear bored. Never to actually go back into slavery again. And I'll do as God's leadership leads me because I and my Father are one. The Holy Ghost is living in me. We talked about one God last week. It's the one and only God there is living in you.
Amen.
And that God is big enough to make me stop, make me start, make me go.
Yeah. Come on.
Make me stand up, make me sit down, make me pick up, make me drop.
Right. Sons of God are led by the
Led by the Spirit of God. All the sons are.
Amen.
And we're not caught in bondage now. We're set free in that liberty that you have. Please, please, please don't sell it out and go back into bondage.
That's right.
But enjoy this liberty. But don't use it for your occasion, but use it for the glory of God. Because that's why he chose you. That's why you're here. That's why he loves you. That's why he works with you. That's why he deals with you. That's why when the word comes forth, you perk up and you listen. Because it's God. God, the word is talking to you, lip to ear.
Amen.
It's not God up here somewhere. It's God in our very midst.
Amen.
And if you've never seen it before, you should see it now.
Amen. Amen.
And when people turn around and walk away, and they will, they walked away from Jesus.
They did.
They walked away from Paul.
They
walked away from every age. And they'll walk away from you.
Amen.
But just know you this, that when they walk away from you, they are walking away from God.
Amen.
And they get the ear bored and they'll never hear the truth again. Never hear it again. That's something that we need to understand. While you're sitting in these benches, you're blessed. But realize it's only the grace of God that any of us are here. And because we're here, we need to give it our all. Don't come to church every other week, every other month, every other day, every skip and missing. Don't get mad and stay home. Don't do these things because you're taking chances with you and God, not you and me. Because I get up here and preach, and as you can see, I can go and not even lose track of time. I don't worry about whether you're here or not. When you're not here, you're missing God, not me. And if you decide you can't stand us anymore and you stomp out the door, just know you this, that you're walking away from the liberty which Christ has made us free.
Amen.
And please don't be yoked up again in that. You can be yoked up in that bondage again, but you don't have to. Because God has given us this, this is the greatest thing that we have, and we should thank God for it every day of our lives. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning for this freedom of worship that you have given us. Help us to stand fast in this truth, knowing that, Lord, there's not about somebody dictating over us, but there's liberty here, and Lord, you have the liberty to do what you want in our lives. And as you tell us to pick up and drop down, we'll do that gladly. It's not a yoke, and it's not hard for us to do. We willingly do it, Lord, because Father, we are here to be about your business, just like Jesus was. And whatever it means, that then I want to be there. I want to be a part of it. This bride wants to be a part of it. Thank you for those that have an ear to hear that'll stand for the truth. And Lord, let us keep pressing and pushing towards the mark, knowing that, Lord, you've got the outcome in your hand. And that you'll take care of us, and that we'll look today and say, Father, if I've not taken you serious and I've taken this liberty for granted, Lord, help me to step over everything and to let it be real in first place in my life. Thank you for this congregation, this group that stands by the word. I ask you to be with us and help us as we move forward, Father. Have your way with us and help us to lean on you, to trust in you, knowing that every word that you speak is for my good. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the ability to stand. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. We need to stand fast. Because we're actually free. He who the Son set free. I had that scripture skipped over it. It's free indeed. Do you love him? Oh my. Mm-mm. If Jesus Christ were standing here right now, and he asked you, do you love him? What would you say?
Amen.
Okay. All right. I was like, whoa. We need to realize that he's here. And he hears if you love him. He hears if you don't. He knows these things. He's good to us. He's blessed us in so many ways. And it won't be long. It won't be long. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Man. God bless you. Don't forget tonight at Jeremiah's. And what time, Jeremiah? 6:30? Come and enjoy the fellowship. It's good to be able to come into the house of God. It's a privilege. And I'm thankful for it. Amen. Amen. We're going to see the King. Oh, yes, soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Oh, yes, soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Oh, yes, soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going. No more sickness there, there's no more sickness there. For we are going to see the King. Oh, there's no more sickness there. For we are going to see the King. There'll be no more sickness there. For we are going to see the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going. The bride will be there, the bride will be there. For we are going to see the King. Oh, yes, the bride will be there. For we are going to see the King. Oh, the bride will be there. Oh, we are going to see the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the soon and very soon. Soon.